Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Reginald Hardwick, filling in for Brian Mackey. In recent months, statues honoring Confederate figures like Jefferson Davis are coming down around the South, either by protesters or local governments. But it's not just Confederate statues. Now, calls have expanded in some places around the country to include other figures in American history with a more complicated past. Princeton University announced recently that it would remove President Woodrow Wilson's name from its School of Public Policy. And in Boston, the city removed a statue of Abraham Lincoln, which depicts him with a freed black man at his feet. Here in the Midwest, some student groups at the University of Wisconsin in Madison are also calling for the removal of an Abraham Lincoln statue. Last month, Brian Mackey spoke with one of those students and a historian. Today, we're going to revisit that conversation.
Angela Peterson is one of those students who started a petition to remove the Lincoln statue from campus. She graduated from the university this spring and currently lives in Chicago. She joins us now. Angela, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also joining us is Manisa Sinha, professor of American history at the University of Connecticut. She's also the author of The Slave's Cause, A History of Abolition, which won the Frederick Douglass Book Prize. Professor Sinha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
Angela, I want to begin with you. Can you briefly describe for us where this statue is on the University of Wisconsin campus?
Yeah, so this statue is basically on top of the main hill on campus. It's the hill that just takes forever to hike up, and it's the focal point of campus. And it sits atop there. It's very large and looming. Basically, it's just Abraham Lincoln sitting, much like he would do in the memorial. That's a huge statue, and it's in the focal point. And the tradition that you'll hear when you walk on your campus tours is that students will rub his feet for good luck on exams. And then the more widely held tradition is that you'll take a photo on Lincoln's lap for your graduation day.
So you started one of the petitions that was circulating to remove the statue. Why do you think it should come down?
I should note that I started it in conjunction with my meme page on University of Wisconsin Memes for Milk Chugging Teens, because of the history behind the statue, not so much about Lincoln himself. And I started it about a few days before the statues actually started coming down with the recent Black Lives Matter protest. The history behind it is so troubling for me because I've the fact that the main person who allowed this donation to happen, Robert Lloyd Jones, was, first of all, if you look at his Wikipedia page, the second line on it is that he was an ultra-racist, but also he played a significant role in the Tulsa Tribune's publication of an editorial that incited the Tulsa Race Massacre in 1921. And the only other donor of the statue besides a little bit of funding from the university was Thomas Brittingham, who was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. So while Lincoln himself for many students has a more complex view, and some students do wish that it goes down because of the fact it's of Lincoln, I wouldn't necessarily put myself in that camp. But more of the troubling history intersecting with a university that has been complicit in racial issues for a good while does not sit well with me. And I would like to see some acknowledgement or some change made to this statue.
Okay. There are some student groups at the University of Wisconsin-Madison who have cited, for example, Lincoln's condemning 38 Dakota men to death by hanging in Minnesota in 1862 as one reason for the statue removal. And wonder if you can speak to that history around Abraham Lincoln, some of the, you know, the things that people are pointing to as reasons to maybe raise questions about the extent to which he is honored in America.
Yes, that's a good question. You know, Abraham Lincoln arguably was one of the greatest presidents of the United States. And he is, in fact, connected with emancipation, and his views on race evolve greatly throughout his life. He goes from advocating colonization of Black people outside the United States to actually advocating Black rights and citizenship. He's the first American president to publicly advocate Black citizenship. So I think it's very important to tell the entire complex story of Lincoln. Now, when it comes to Native Americans, Lincoln's record, like that of nearly all American presidents, is not so good. In fact, Lincoln did order the largest mass hanging of Native Americans, as you pointed out, in American history. But it's important to remember that the state officials in Wisconsin and people on the ground, the settlers, were ready to hang over 200 Native Americans. And Lincoln, in the middle of the Civil War, with all his attention drawn to the South, commuted the sentence of an overwhelming majority of those condemned to die. So even though that number 38 does not sit well with us today, we must remember that he actually commuted the sentence of an overwhelming number of Native Americans who were condemned to die. Now, having said that, we must remember also that Lincoln, like nearly all American presidents, was very much involved in the dispossession of Native Americans, though the sort of brutal, really genocidal kind of wars that began against the Plains Indians in the West really happened later after his death.
Now, Professor Sinha, in the past interviews, you've said that statues of Confederates should come down, no question. But I wonder, what do you think more generally of these recent calls to remove statues of people like Lincoln or George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, or changing the name of the public policy school, dropping Woodrow Wilson's name, for example?
Well, you know, I think the movement for Black Lives has really made us pay attention to all these statues of figures that we commemorate in American history. The Confederate statues, I think, belong to a special category. They're irredeemable. They were men who fought to uphold slavery. They committed treason against the United States. And their statues were erected in order to mark the triumph of white supremacy in the South, the rise of Jim Crow, racial segregation, racial terror and lynching, and the disenfranchisement of Black men. So the people who erected these statues were white supremacists. And I'm really troubled by the history that Angela has unearthed of the Lincoln statue in Wisconsin. It troubles me that such overt white supremacists should raise a statue to a man like Lincoln. There are some statues of Lincoln that are also somewhat problematic, like the Emancipation statue that I have studied a lot while writing an article on Lincoln and the abolitionists for his bicentennial in 2008. Now, it's important to remember that that image of Lincoln paternalistically extending his hand over a kneeling enslaved man is really unfortunate. And it is an image that Lincoln himself was uncomfortable with. When he walked into the capital of the Confederacy in Richmond and people started falling at his feet, he is purported to have said, "You must not fall before me, you must kneel before God only." So it would have been something that Lincoln himself would not have been comfortable with. We also know that this statue was raised by African Americans because they wanted to commemorate Lincoln's role in emancipation. But that did not mean that they wanted to dismiss their own role. You can see that in Frederick Douglass's speech when that statue was put up. He was uncomfortable with that image of a kneeling Black man. Now, that was a common image in the abolition movement, a kneeling Black man and woman. Am I not a man and a brother? Am I not a woman and a sister? But there was no white person standing in front of them, you know, with their hand extended over them. We must also remember that when African Americans began the strike, and I found out that a freed woman, Charlotte Scott, donated the first $5 she earned in freedom to erect the statue. There were many other projects that were put forward, including one by the Afro-Native artist Edmonia Lewis, who wanted a frieze showing emancipation as a process, not as a gift handed down to Black people. She had a frieze with Lincoln, with Union Army soldiers, with abolitionists, with radical Republicans, everyone who was involved in the movement towards emancipation during the war. Now, unfortunately, her model was rejected for this model set up by Thomas Ball, a New England sculptor. And it is a very paternalistic image. And it was sanctioned by the Western Sanitary Commission, a federal government agency. So clearly, white Americans at that time were more comfortable with Thomas Ball's image, which is somewhat ahistorical, showing Black people as the recipients of the gift of freedom. But even in this case, as you can tell from the complicated story that I have told you, we need to contextualize many of these statues. We need to tell the messy, complicated histories of slaveholding founding fathers, of men like Lincoln, and not portray them ahistorically as demigods. We should today be able to talk about how we commemorate men like Lincoln or Washington, perhaps understanding also some of the flaws and some of the missteps that they took in their life. That's history. It's not mythology. Again, the link. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to, I wanted to ask Angela at this point about, we've been hearing about how the money for the Emancipation statue that's in D.C. and there's a replica in Boston that's been the subject of calls for removal. I wonder, at Wisconsin, at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, does the administration talk about how the statue was funded and how it was built?
No, not at all. So the one thing that we'll be told on our tour is you walk past the statue and they'll say, this is here because Lincoln was the president when they passed the Morrill Act, given that Wisconsin is a land-grant university. And they also ironically say that while we are standing on sacred Ho-Chunk land, I think they have started to at least acknowledge that. We did make a plaque acknowledging that we are on sacred Ho-Chunk land. But even on the Ask Abe section of the UW website, it'll just say, oh, Lincoln did the Morrill Act. That's why it's here. And the only way that I could locate this information was by reading an article from the, it was the centennial of the statue and the bicentennial of Lincoln's birthday that had said, oh, this was given by Robert Lloyd Jones because it was from the newspaper that he played a part in founding in Wisconsin.
Sure.
So it's that constant, like, not paying attention to the narrative that can grind on some students' gears.
Sure, sure. I want to take this moment to mention a text we got from one of our listeners at our Text the 21st initiative, which you can find out more about at our website, 21stshow.org. Jan from Savoy said, "No one is all good or all bad. Lincoln should be remembered for his emancipation of slaves and saving the United States. Unlike the Confederate generals, he was never a traitor to the USA. There may need to be asterisks that note his errors in judgment as well as his achievements. Washington and Jefferson were complex men and not correct in all their views, actions, but they built a foundation of the vision which we are all striving to fulfill." I wonder, Professor Sinha, if you can talk about, I recently heard the New York Times commentator Jamel Bowie saying that, you know, there are almost no historical figures that have, you know, uncomplicated records on race. And maybe the better thing to do is to build monuments to events in a democratic society, as opposed to monuments to individual people, typically individual men for much of our history. What do you make of those, of that that idea and the idea of building monuments to individual people? And I should add, unfortunately, we only have a couple minutes left in our conversation.
Well, yes, that's a very interesting question, because that kind of monumental style of statues of great men. It's a very 19th century thing to do. In fact, most memorials now, you will notice, are far more democratic. You think of something like the Vietnam War Memorial, they tell the complex histories. That's why I like Union Army memorials, mostly in the North, because a lot of them are to the ordinary soldier. They're not usually to one figure like Grant or Sherman. They're much more democratic. And those are the kinds of memorials we should have. People want to add complexity also to these other statues that are there in our country. And I do think that these are very different from the Confederate statues that really need to go because they send a message or a value that we don't cherish at all today. While the others, I think we can, in fact, add historical context and maybe move to museums if they are particularly egregious examples of statues.
That was 21st host Brian Mackey speaking with Monisha Sinha, professor of American history at the University of Connecticut. She's also the author of The Slave's Cause, A History of Abolition, which won the Frederick Douglass Book Prize. They were also joined by Angela Peterson, a recent graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who lives in Chicago. Angela started a petition at the university to have a statue of Abraham Lincoln removed from campus. I'm Reginald Hardwick, filling in for Brian Mackey. Coming up after the break, with many people choosing to forgo air travel for something a little closer to home, we'll have some Midwest summer road trip suggestions and advice on how to stay safe. You're listening to The 21st.